of 1 Peter. That's where we're going to start. I have a lot to say to you, so I'm going to have to go fast. So you're going to have to put on your, you're just going to have to be ready. You're going to have to keep up because I don't want to lose you. God's got something good for you today. But if you're taking notes, I've entitled the message, Humble the Fundamental. And the reason why I have is because I really feel like humility, living a life of, some of you, I see your faces. I already know what you're thinking. Pastor Joe, really? Humble? We're talking about being humble? I should have stayed home. No, you shouldn't have stayed home because God has something good for you today. And you and I as Christians need to live lives of humility. Humility is one of those fundamental, one of those basic, one of those foundational issues that I personally believe you're not going to get very far in your walk with God without. Now, let me kind of bring this into maybe natural terms to where you and I can kind of understand a little bit better. How many of you out there play sports? You love sports, you play sports. So for those of you who play sports, you would agree with me that until you come to the place where you find out the fundamentals, where you figure out the basics of your sport, chances are when you get out there on the field, you get out there on the court, whatever it is, you're going to have a hard time doing what it is that you do. You need somebody to come along and teach you the fundamentals, teach you the basics of what you do. Those basics, those fundamentals will help you, will enable you to play to the best of your ability. In fact, Pastor Joe is, Antonio knows this because I complain about the NBA all the time because I think in my generation today, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. I think that we've lost something today in our competition, and that's just simply going over the fundamentals of teamwork. Kobe, it's not all about you. I love you, bro, but come on, pass the ball. The fundamentals. Listen to me, guys. I know we're laughing, we're having fun, but hear what I'm saying today. Because the fundamentals, the basics, the foundational issues are what enable you to do just about, if not everything, that you do today. And without them, you're not enabled to live in the spheres that you live. Let me see if I could help bring this a little bit closer to home. How many of you like the subject of math when you were in school? Dang, I'm getting like boos and all that. But everybody here, I want everybody here to take a moment. Let's go back to our school years. I'm not talking about college. I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking about kindergarten. First, can you go back that far? Some of us, it's further back than others. But anyways, let's go all the way. What was the first thing you learned about mathematics? 2 + 2. Okay, so somebody said addition. You're on the right track. Not quite. On the right track. The first thing you learned. Do we have any teachers in the house? You teach. All right, so they can verify. The first thing you learned when it came to mathematics was number recognition. Right? Because how are you going to add unless you first know what the number 5 looks like? If you don't know what the number 2 looks like, you ain't going to get 2 + 2, all right? And then once you, listen to me now, once you learned what the number 2 looks like, then you had to find out how much it represented. Then once you knew how much it represented, then you were enabled to go on to addition. And then after addition, you went on to subtraction. And then after subtraction, you went on to multiplication, and then you went to division, and then you went to decimals, and then you went to percentages, then you went to algebra. Then you went to geometry. What's after that? Anybody go further than geometry? Algebra, but true. Then you went to trigonometry. Then you went on to calculus. Pastor Joe went into calculus, and I passed with a D-, but that's all right. But the point being is this, without the fundamentals, you would never got to calculus to begin with. Without the basics. And so there's this principle in the Bible called humility. Humble the fundamental. That without it in your life, without it operating in your life, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. You're not going to get very far, if anywhere, in your Christian walk with God. In your Christian walk with God, I really believe that humility is one of those words that is probably least understood, and one of those virtues that is probably least practiced in the church. All the while, probably being one of the most important principles that you could ever learn. Let me be so bold as to tell you, I believe that it's more important than walking by faith. I believe humility, living a life of humility, is more important than walking in love. Let me see if I can get you to bring you to a place where you're like, all right, Pastor Joe, this humility thing might turn out to be a little bit more than what I expected. Pastor Joe believes humility is more important than salvation. Pastor Joe, are you going to get fired after this? No, I'm not. I really believe it's that important. So all of a sudden now we come to 1 Peter. If you brought your Bibles, hopefully you're there. 1 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, because Peter comes along and he begins to address this issue of humility. Today, I've got 6 points. Oh my God, Pastor Joe, are you serious? Yeah, but we're going to go over fast, so don't worry. That's why you got to pay attention. 6 things that I think that we need to understand about humility. 6 things that Peter talks about, Peter addresses, that you and I need to make sure we are applying in our lives today. So if you go with me to verse number 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says this. It says, Peter says, likewise, you younger people, says, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And underline this next phrase, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. First thing I see Peter address in this section talking about humility is I see, number one today, that God resists the proud. Let's look at it again. Verse number 5. Let's look at the second part of verse number 5. He says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For, or in other words, you can replace that word for with the word because. Be clothed with humility because God resists the proud. God resists the proud. Now, most of the time we read over this verse, God resists the proud, he gives the grace to the humble, and we go on and we don't think too much. But I want to bring some special attention to this because really, if we really think about this, Peter here is writing to Christians. First and Second Peter were written to Christians. Peter, the underlining theme of his two books, he was trying to encourage Christians to be able to endure persecution for Christ. He wanted them to be able to endure, not give up on the faith, not give up on God. He wanted them to keep on going on. Right at the end of this book, written to Christians, which is really in the middle of the two books, all of a sudden now he comes along and he addresses this issue of humility by saying, number one, that God resists the proud. Notice what he did not say. He did not say God resists the devil. We'd all be okay with that, right? God resists the devil, right? Everybody would be okay with that. He didn't say God resists evil, which he does. God resists the devil, God resists evil, but it doesn't say that, and we'd be okay with that. But notice what he says. He says God resists the proud. Pastor Joe, what is the point? The point being is this, whether you're a Christian or not, if you're going to live a life of pride, God's going to resist you too. God resists the proud, Christian or not. Let me put it to you like this. Because you and I, we've got our flesh resisting us. I know I don't have much of it. I told the youth not too long ago. Your flesh resists you. And they're just like, and I was like, you know this stuff? And they're just like, I was like, all right, God help me. Ever felt like slapping somebody? Ah! That's your flesh. All right. So maybe it's a little bit different for young adults. All right. How many of you could be honest enough to say there has been a time this last year you were driving down the freeway and you felt like flipping somebody off? The biggest, most obnoxious, ugliest finger you could possibly point at them. You were just like, oh! That's your flesh. Your flesh likes to freak out sometimes. Ah! You've got your flesh resisting you. You've got the world resisting you. Come on. If anybody in here knows anything about peer pressure, you've got the world resisting you. You've got the devil resisting you. Listen, guys, if you're going to be everything that God's called you to be and do everything God's called you to do, you don't need God on that team. Did you hear what I just said? You've got your flesh resisting you. You've got the world resisting you. You've got the devil resisting you. And all of a sudden now, because you're living a life of pride, you've got God resisting you too. The Bible says God resists the proud. So the moment that you decide to live a life of pride, all of a sudden now you've positioned yourself in a place where God's resisting you too. Listen, if you're going to be, again, if you're going to be everything that God's called you to be, do everything God's called you to do, you cannot live a life of pride. Moving right along, point number two today, because we got to go quick. Second thing I find here in these verses, Peter telling us about living a life of humility, is that this is going to get a little bit happier for the next few points, all right? All right, don't worry. So the second thing I find is that grace is given to the humble. Let's look at verse number five again. Verse number five. Right in the middle. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to those who live a life of humility. God gives grace to the humble. There's one part of the Bible, actually we'll look at it a little bit later on. It says that God gives more grace. How many of you out there want God's grace operating in your life? I'm talking about God's power. I'm talking about his strength. I'm talking about, I like this one, his sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf. When you can't do it. We're talking about God gives grace to the humble, his power, his strength. I like Pastor Debbie's definition of this. God's grace, it's God's ability in you to do what God's truth demands of you. I need the grace of God. Ever met somebody who's not a Christian and they hear some of the things that God requires of people and they're just like, oh my God, I can never do that. Anybody? I have a couple friends that they're not saved. Can you believe that? Sure. All right. You didn't have sex before you got married? No. Oh my gosh. I feel sorry for you. That's a thing. Why? Because they can only imagine life in their own strength. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for his sovereign divine ability. Thank God for his power, his strength working in me to do what his truth demands of me. I don't got to be like the world. I could be what he's called me to be, what he's designed me to be from the very beginning. I once was blind, now I see. Once was lost, now I was once dead, now I'm alive. Thank God for the grace of God. And then I like what, actually it's here in 1 Peter, if you look at verse number 10 with me, I like what Peter says, just in case you didn't quite get it, just in case you didn't quite feel like it applied to you. He comes along in verse number 10, he says, but may the God of all grace, may the God of, what does it say? All grace. In other words, there's not a single situation. There's not a single circumstance. There will never be a scenario made up by life or man that could possibly render God from being able to touch you and lift you up with his grace from where you are to where you need to be. God, I'm gonna quit. No, just kidding. Are you hearing me today? It doesn't matter what you face. God's got grace for you. It doesn't matter what you face, what you're facing today, or what you'll face tomorrow. God's got enough grace for you, and his grace, glory be to God, is sufficient. Back to what we're talking about. He gives it to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. Third thing I see here in these verses, Peter talking about humility, is that God exalts the humble. Let's look at it. My page keeps on turning. I'm getting too excited. All right, so verse number five, second part, it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse number six, therefore, or in other words, because of what I just said, if God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. The word exalt here means to lift up, means to raise out. It gives the impression of being brought out of something and placed into something else. God exalts the humble. Anybody here ever known somebody who is sick? Needed to be lifted up, needed to be raised up out of their sick bed into health. Anybody here ever known somebody who had financial situation? They need to be lifted up. They need to be moved out of poverty into abundance. Anybody here ever met somebody, ever known somebody who, man, they just have this addiction, they just got the sin, and they need to get out. They need to be lifted up. They need to be raised up. They need to be brought out of that and delivered into freedom. Anybody here know what it's like to be in darkness, in the kingdom of darkness? Know what it's like to be lost? Know what it's like to not have enough? Know what it's like to be brought out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred over into the kingdom of the Son of His love? It's because God exalted you. He lifted you up. He brought you and I out. That's exactly what it's talking about here. You need to be moved out of the situation that you're in right now into something else. God wants to exalt you. But He gives grace to the humble. It belongs to the humble. One more time, verse number 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you, that He may lift you up, that He may raise you up, that He may bring you out from where you're at right now into the place that He's called you. That's what it's talking about, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, there's an old song that my dad used to sing on the piano when I was a little kid, and I absolutely loved it. And actually, we've done it once or twice here in Shift, so you may recognize it. But it says, with His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things that He's done. God's not done lifting you up yet. Just in case you didn't realize it yet, you haven't arrived yet. Life is not as good as it can get. Yet you don't know everything you need to know about God just yet. You need to be lifted up. You need to be exalted. You need to be raised up by God. Right, is anybody in the house today? God wants to exalt you, but notice what He says. God exalts the humble. Let's look at verse 6 again. The fourth thing I see Peter talking about here. Verse number 6, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Now notice there's a comma here. He's not done talking about what He wants to say. He says, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all of your care upon God, for God cares for you. The fourth thing I see Peter talk about here regarding humility is that God is enabled to care by humility. You enable God to care for you when you live a life of humility. When you choose to be humble, you open the door for God's care to care for you. Anybody here want to live without God caring for you? Walk in pride if you do. But if you want God to care for you, the Bible says here, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares. He's still talking. It's not a complete thought. Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Let me just say this to all of you. If you've ever been touched by the care of God, if you've ever experienced God's care for you personally, there's nothing like it in the entire world. Just absolutely nothing like it in the entire world. I'm here to tell you today, it will change your life. When you experience, when all of a sudden you find yourself in that moment and you realize, because God has made it real to you, that God cares for you. And not just that He cares for you, but the magnitude of His care for you. I can think back at different times in my life where I experienced that care, God's care for me. And I thought to myself, who am I? Who am I that God, that's such affectionate, that's such watchful, that's such wonderful concern? I mean, if I was Jesus, I could understand. Maybe if I was the president. Who am I that God cares so much for me? You might be in the house saying, come on, Pastor Joe, I'm a man. I don't need no care. You stupid. every last human being alive needs to know how much God cares for them. You may think yourself tough. You may think yourself rough. You may think yourself ghetto. I don't need that. I'm a hood rat. I don't know. Oh, God. I just thought of a really bad song. Anyways, all right. But I'm here to tell you today, I don't care how tough you are. You experience that love, experience God's care, melt your heart away. I was trying to think of how to describe it. All I could think of was a single ice cube. You know, it's been like 105 outside, right? A single ice cube left to itself on the asphalt of a hot summer day with the sun shining in its strength. That's how well your heart's going to stand up to God's care. Melt your heart away. Now, let me just, I want to read this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. I want to read it to you in the Amplified because I think it's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I think it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's the Amplified version. It amplifies what's really being said here. It paints a really good picture. They're going to put it up there on the overhead screen. All right, this is what it says. It says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns. Pastor Joe really likes this part. Once and for all. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all. Anybody here know anybody who's a worry wart? You know, they just worried about everything, anxious about everything. They kind of have a jitter in it. And maybe from time to time you go with them somewhere and you're carpooling, you get out of the car, you're headed to the beach and you're walking next to them. All of a sudden they go, and you're like, what happened? I forgot to start my washing machine at home. And you're just like, oh my God, I thought somebody died. That's a worry. That's somebody who's anxious, concerned, worked up. They're worried about everything. Any possible situation that could go wrong, they think of it. God's not called you to live like that. God's not called you to live like that. Watch what it says here. It says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties. What are you anxious about today? All of your worries. What are you worried about today? All of your concerns. What are you concerning yourself with? Oh my God, I got to take care of it. I got to make sure I get this. I got to. Once and for all. Watch what it says. On him, on God. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. God cares for you today. God wants you to experience his care. But notice what he says here. God is enabled to care when you walk in humility. Next thing I find here in these verses, fifth thing, is that humility helps you resist. Let's look at verse number 7 again. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, he's going to go on to a new sentence here, but we're still in the context of being clothed with humility. Everybody follow? He says, casting all of your care, for he cares for you. Wait, let me start from verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Humility helps you resist. How many of you realize today that there's a devil out there? He's your adversary. He's out to get you. Now let me just be honest with you, because for me personally, Pastor Joe has erred on the side of, you got problems in your life, you the problem. Sorry. I've met too many people in life, known too many people in life, blame everything on the devil. Never want to take responsibility for their actions. Never want to take responsibility for their decisions, for their thinking, for the words that came out of their mouth. But you know what? The Bible does say that you and I will face consequences because of the decisions that we make. But the Bible does talk about there being a devil out there. And he's your adversary and wants to mess with God by messing with you. Isn't that right? And so it's I realized recently that, you know what? Some of the stuff that's coming up in my life, this is not a result of my decisions. This is from the devil. And you know what? I'm not going to stand for this crap anymore. It's time to resist what's going on. It's time to say, all right, devil, enough is enough. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Get your hands off of my boss. Get your hands off my teachers. Get out. Let go. You have no place in Jesus' name. And put an end to what's going on in your life. I remember I was a little kid, 5, 6, maybe 7 years old. My mom, we were going to somebody's house. I don't remember whose house it was anymore. But I remember she parked the car on the side of the street there, got out of the car and came over to the back door to open it up and let me out. So she opens the door, helped me get my seatbelt off. I get out, I'm standing there, she's grabbing things out of the car. And all of a sudden I hear this barking. And it's one of those hostile barks, you know. I just knew there's a dog somewhere right here and he's going to kill me. All right, so it's just like, you know. I turn around and I see what I think is a lion. I mean, it's Simba, except he's mad. He's going to kill me. No, it was a dog, and I'll just give you, it was at the, when you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you stand this tall, a chow looks pretty big. That's what it was. Anybody know what a chow is? They got this huge, huge, like, mane. They kind of look like a lion. They're not a lion, but I was like, oh, my God, Mufasa. No, I'm just kidding. Mufasa hadn't come out then. But I'm thinking, oh, my God, here's this dog. I'm going to die. And he's getting closer, and he kind of takes a couple quick steps, and he comes closer. He's ready to, I don't know, ready to do something. All of a sudden, my mom realizes what's going on. She sees him, and here's this dog, and she goes, no, go on, get out of here. I think to myself, Chantel, just talk. Maybe he'll, oh my God. All right, as a little boy. But she said, no. She said, go on. And you know what? That dog put his tail between its legs and took off. Well, it's the same way with the devil. When you know your authority, when you know who you are in Christ, and you drop the name of Jesus. I'm talking about name drop. In the name of Jesus, the devil's going to do the same thing. He's going to run with his tail between his legs. Listen, you need to stop watching the horror movies you watch, because every time you watch one, some priest comes in and I'm going to cast a demon out, and then he gets possessed and he gets beat up. No. And then you try to go to bed at night and you hear a little cry, oh my God! You need to find out what the Bible, you need to resist him. You need to say, no, go on, get out, let go in the name of Jesus. And guess what? He's going to flee from you. He's going to flee from you. But notice here, we're talking about all of this is in context with humility, being clothed with humility. Sixth thing, the last thing we're going to talk about today, that I see Peter bring up about this issue, this fundamental, this basic, this foundational issue of humility, is I see humility equals up. Pride equals down. Come on, let's talk. What are some of the things that we talked about today? If you're going to live a life of pride, God's going to resist you. Man, my life's headed in the wrong direction, wouldn't you say? My life's headed down. I mean, if God's resisting you, you're going down. However, if I live a life of humility, we talked about God gives more grace. God exalts, lifts up. You enable God to care for you. And you are enabled to resist. Now, doesn't that sound like, hey, my life's headed in the right, if I'm walking in humility and my life's headed in the right direction, I'm headed up. I ain't going down. I'm headed up. All right, don't like that? All right. All right, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Don't turn there. We're going to put these up really fast because I'm running out of time. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2, because I think these verses real quick, you can write down the references, are going to show you being what it is to be lifted up, what it is to be brought down, and what the reasons are behind them. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2 says, when pride comes, then cometh shame. What category does shame fit under? Going up or going down? Down. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. Sorry, guys. Can you go back to chapter 11, verse number 2? Just real fast. Okay. Then comes shame. Everybody sit down. But with humble is wisdom. Does wisdom fit under going up or going down? Are you sure? All right. Chapter 13, verse number 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. Thank you, Antonio. Thank you. By pride comes nothing but strife. How many of you think strife is fun? You stupid. As my friend Adam over here says, stupid. We play Xbox Live all the time. He goes, oh my gosh, stupid. And we always laugh. We always laugh about it. Anyways, I love you, Adam. Pride. Listen, when you're in strife, when you've got strife going on between you and your husband, you and your spouse, you and your wife, you and your family, you and your friends, pride's present. Look what it says. By pride comes nothing but strife. Your life is headed down. Your relationship is headed down. Hello, somebody. Chapter 16, verse number 18. Chapter 16, verse number 18, the Bible says, pride goes before destruction. Does that sound like going down to you? And a haughty spirit before a fall. How many would say that fall sounds like going down to me? All right. Chapter 29, verse number 23. Chapter 29, verse number 23. A man's pride will bring him low. Thank you, God. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. A man's pride will bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. I think that you're beginning to see, as well as I am, pride is going to take you down. Humility is going to bring you up. Question. I'm going to close with these few questions tonight. Question. Have I told you what humility is yet? The answer is no. Have I told you what pride is yet? The answer is no. Let me ask this question. Actually, this question I'm going to need full audience participation. All right? Is everybody following me? Everybody here? If you're humble and you know it, stand up. If you're humble and you know it, stand up. We got a problem. Y'all are going down. let me say this to you. How many of you agree? Okay, let's try this again, except Antonio is going to be my example, all right? So you're going to stand up when I'm going to ask a question. We're going to pretend we're doing it. All right. If you're humble and you know it, stand up. Yeah! All right, you can sit back down. How many of you agree that if somebody did stand up, that'd be kind of awkward? Right? Because if you're humble, you shouldn't know it. And if you do know it, the last thing you would do is admit it. Right? Talk to me. Humble people, they don't think anything of themselves, right? But what's interesting is all of a sudden now Peter comes along and he says, hey, all of you be clothed with humility. I don't know about you, but for me, my clothes go everywhere I go. They go with me to the bathroom. They go with me to the job. They go with me to see my family. They go with my friend. Everywhere I go, my clothes go too. They play a part of my, they're a part of my life every single day. So, for me to say that if somebody is humble, they wouldn't know it, or if they did know it, they wouldn't admit it, that's like as dumb as me saying, come here, Antonio, come here one more time. Antonio, I want you to wear this green shirt, but never admit that you're wearing it. Never, if somebody asks you if you're wearing, you're not wearing a green shirt. All right, you got it? All right, thank you. Isn't that stupid? I know that's a little bit of an abstract thought, but you know what? He's saying to be clothed with humility. In other words, your humility plays a part in your entire life, and everywhere you go, people are going to recognize that you're humble. Let me put it to you like this. A few years ago, I'm just picking on you today. A few years ago, before Pastor Dan became the executive pastor, and Pastor Luke and I stepped up into shift, you just have to understand that I'm Puerto Rican, all right? I grew up liking sports, playing basketball, listening to rap music. All right, so the people I hung out, we wore baggy pants, we wore Jordans, we wore Echo, we wore FUBU, we wore our hats backwards. That was Pastor Joe's style in high school. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I remember, I think it was my senior year, I grew my hair out, froed it out, and I put a pick in it. And walked around school. That's how ghetto I was. All right? I was a Christian, but I was... So anyways, Antonio, in his loving, ever so respectful, caring heart, decided Pastor Joe's clothes are not befitting of him. I need to take him to the mall, and I need to make some suggestions as to what he needs to wear. This is one of our tough parts of our relationship. All right, and it's just, I'm just kidding. So we tell them, Pastor Joe, this is how that looks good, man. Not that. FUBU, bad. Calvin Klein, good. I don't know. Levi's 501s, right? Good. All right. So, but my point being is that here I'm wearing these clothes, and they're recognized by people. And he comes along and says, be clothed with humility, but we want to act like if you're humble, you shouldn't know it. And if you do know it, you'd never admit it. And that's just as stupid as me saying, you know, you need to put on, not humility, but you need to put on a green shirt, but don't ever tell anybody you're wearing a green shirt. That's dumb. The reason why is, let's just be honest. Let me say this real fast. When you think of the word, what do you think of when you think of the word humility? Or you think of humble? Let's just be honest. You think of somebody who's a pushover. You think of somebody who's spineless, no guts, no glory, no grit, right? If they were humble, they wouldn't know it. And if they did know it, the last thing they would do is admit it. Because humble people, they don't think anything of themselves. They're humble. The reason why we have an outlook of humility like that is because we've allowed the world's definition of humility to creep into the church. How many of you realize today that when the world's definition of something is dictating the way that we're living our lives, chances are, you're going to be living in error. Let me put it to you like this. See, if the world's, how many of you realize that the world's definition of fun is going to be different than God's definition of fun? The world's definition of love is going to be different than God's definition of love. The world's definition of truth is going to be different than God's definition of truth. Likewise, the world's definition of humility is different than God's definition of humility. And if what we're saying is true, you're going to live a life of pride, you're headed down, going to live a life of humility, you're headed up, and nobody in here stood up because they're humble and they know it, we're in trouble. So what is humility? I'm glad that you asked. Turn with me to James chapter 4. What is humility? I'm trying to go fast. I'm trying to get you out on time. Are we doing okay? Is everybody doing okay? Or should we do this for the rest for next week? Are you sure? Now, you know what? It's 8:20, and I know Pastor Luke wouldn't have a problem with me doing part two next week. We just talk about it. Did you get something good from God's word? Go ahead and give him great big praise. I'm going to get you either way. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, on that one. No, okay, James chapter 4, what is humility? I'm glad you asked. James chapter 4, verse number 6. James chapter 4, verse number 6. But God gives more grace. Sound familiar? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Sound familiar? One more time. But God gives more grace. Thank God. Therefore, God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse number 7, therefore, or in other words, because of what I just said, in light of what I just said, what did I just say? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, or because of what I just said, because of that, submit yourselves to God. Submit to God. What is humility? Humility is submitting to God. Plain and simple. What does it mean to be humble? It means to submit to God. The word submit means to retire, means to withdraw, henceforth to yield. What does it mean to be humble? What does it mean to live a life of humility? It means to submit to God. The word submit means to retire, to withdraw, henceforth to yield. It means to retire from your way, withdraw from your thoughts, yield to God's way. Let me try it over here. What does humility mean? It means to submit to God. The word submit means to retire from your way. Anybody know what it means to retire? You stop working. You stop. To withdraw, henceforth, to yield. Anytime that you retire, let me say it like this. Anytime that you submit to God, you must retire. You must withdraw. You must yield. That's what it means to live a life of humility. Let me say this. If humility is submitting to God, what is pride? Pride is failure to submit to God. I'm not gonna retire. I'm not gonna withdraw. I'm not gonna yield. I don't care what the reason is. Anytime that you do not retire, anytime that you do not withdraw, and anytime that you do not yield to God's way, you've just stepped into the arena of pride. You're living a life of pride. This is why I say humility is more important than walking in faith. You're not going to walk in faith. You're not going to believe God in the midst of situations and circumstances that demand otherwise until you're first willing to retire. You're willing to withdraw. Henceforth to yield. God, I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. God, I'm not going to freak out and let my flesh get the best of me. God, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to believe you. God, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray about this. God, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do what you told me to do about this. This is why I say it's more important than walking in love. How many of you know that it's tough to love some people? You're not going to love them until you're willing to retire from your opinion about them, withdraw from your opinion about what they're doing, and yield and go ahead and do what God told you to do. This is why I say it's more important than salvation. I've stood in front of people, told them about Jesus Christ, and I knew, I could see it on their face. The Holy Spirit was dealing with their heart, and they wouldn't get saved. They had their excuses why they were already saved. Had their excuses why they wouldn't, like, it's not going to work anyways. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. This is why I say it's more important than salvation. Because you're not going to give all your heart, give all your life to God until you're willing to retire, withdraw, henceforth to yield. Give your life to God. Let me say this to you. The dance you did to get into the kingdom of God is what I call the three-step dance. Retire, withdraw, henceforth to yield. If that's the dance you did to get into the kingdom of God, guess what? It's going to be the dance you need to keep on doing in order to operate in the kingdom of God. If you're going to be everything that God's called you to be, and if you're going to do everything that God's called you to do, you're going to have to live a life of humility. Retiring from your way. Withdrawing from your way, your thoughts, your opinions, your upbringing, your experiences, and yielding to God's way. Anytime, one more time, you choose not to retire, not to withdraw, not to yield, you're living a life of pride. I don't care what the excuse is. God's never told you or me to do something that we cannot do. And therefore, we're living a life of pride. We're headed down. However, anytime you choose to retire. Oh, thank God we get to retire from our ways. Thank God Almighty, I get to stop doing what I've been doing that's been leading my life in the way that it's going. Thank God I get to withdraw from that. Thank God I get to get rid of the temper. Thank God I get to get rid of the gossiping. Thank God I get to start walking in love. Thank God I get to start living by faith. Thank God I get to start doing what he says for me to do. Because now my life's headed up and I'm not headed down no more. I'm going to rise up with wings like eagles. I'm going to be everything he's called me to be. I'm going to do everything he's called me to do. And I'm not going to be another statistic. Thank God Almighty. If you got something good from God's word, you can give him a great big praise.